We move on now to section M, and the heading is Other Items, and it's a bit of a sweep-up section. Section M is the only dual-choice section on the P11D where we have to decide whether to report the expense payment or benefit as a brown box, which would attract Class 1A NIC liability, or a blue box, where I've previously said we need to consider, was there a Class 1 NIC's liability and has that been overlooked? The headings that are covered on the P11D for Section M start off with subscriptions and professional fees. We're not talking about magazine subscriptions that are in the office, trade magazines, that type of thing. They wouldn't be reported here. We would be talking about professionals' fees, AAT, membership fees, Institute of Directors, that type of thing, should actually be covered by a P11D dispensation and not reported. If the subscriptions or fees are job-related and if they're included in the HMRC published list 3, or indeed if they come within the terms of ITPA 2003 sections 343 and 344, they will not be taxable. But as I say, they should be included on the P11D unless we have a dispensation. We could also report you the cost of leisure club, maybe a golf club or gym subscriptions, because they will be a taxable benefit and need to be reported. If you have a situation where the employer enters into an arrangement, say with a health club, for a corporate subscription, and then employees repay their portion of the subscription, perhaps over a 10 or 12 month period, we potentially have a beneficial loan if the loans exceed £5,000, but it shouldn't be a benefit in kind as far as the provision of the gym facility is concerned, because the employees will be making good the cost of their portion. Dining club subscriptions will normally be taxable unless the inspector was to agree that the payment was made to provide a business entertaining facility, and then they would expect to see that the subscriptions were disallowed as business entertaining. There is a provision year for nursery places, and the provision of a nursery at the workplace or a premises financed and run by the employer is actually exempt and wouldn't be reportable. In other circumstances, the cost met by the employer will be taxable and should be reported year, apportioned as necessary between the number of users. We have a provision for educational assistance to be reported, and what the guidance says is to report the cash equivalent as the value of any scholarship awarded by reason of the parent's employment. We could also report you the cost of any school fees or other educational assistance relating to a director or employee, or indeed to his family or household. The next thing in this section is the non-qualifying relocation benefits, which do not come within Section J, and we report you the cost to the employer or any third-party provider of any non-qualifying relocation benefits. Next, we have loans written off or waived, where we have to report the amount of any loans written off or waived unless they were written off by virtue of the death of the employee. During the payroll year-end courses, I was pointing out to AAT delegates that where a loan is written off or waived, and it's not by virtue of the death of the employee, there is a potential Class 1 NIC liability which would arise also. Finally, within Section M, we have the reporting of income tax paid on behalf of the director. We have to report the amount of any income tax paid to HMRC in 2008-09 that the employer failed to deduct from the remuneration paid to a director. This charge normally applies to income tax borne by the company, such as when HMRC issues a Regulation 80 determination. The final section on the P11D is Section N, and this covers a number of things, and we'll start off with expense payments made to or on behalf of the employee. It covers expense payments, and it highlights the need to report expenses made to and those paid on behalf of the employee. And I have to say that most employers should have or should be able to obtain a P11D dispensation to cover the majority of the business expenditure included under this heading. If we look specifically at travel and subsistence payments, which are not included in a general expense allowance, then the amount should be reported here as the cost to the employer. This will include any travel between home and a permanent workplace for UK employments and employments performed wholly outside the UK. But again, we should be looking at the dispensation for genuine business, travel and subsistence. The next heading is one that causes a lot of problems because it doesn't say business entertainment, it doesn't say staff entertainment or working lunches. It just says entertainment. And our first obligation in reporting for 2008-09 is to identify whether or not the employing company is a trading organisation. This will normally confirm that the cost of business entertaining has been disallowed in the company accounts, and excluding reciprocal or social entertaining will then enable the employee to obtain a personal tax deduction. HMRC officers will tend to scrutinise the tax computations and compare them with the information on P11Ds to see if there's any discrepancy. Employees of a non-trading organisation may be asked to prove that the expense was incurred wholly, exclusively and necessarily in the performance of their duties in order to avoid a tax charge. As I've said, the P11D doesn't separately identify business and staff entertaining or working lunches, which are normally treated as a taxable benefit, unless, of course, they're covered by a P11D dispensation. Lunches which are provided as part of job-related training should not be treated as giving rise to a taxable benefit and therefore should not have to be reported. Where employees have lunch when they're working away at a temporary workplace, that cost should be treated as allowable travel and subsistence. Staff entertaining is one of the most popular issues to be picked up by HMRC compliance officers, although many employers tend now to include this expenditure in a PAYE settlement agreement. The cost of food and drink taken at or near the normal place of work, including food for staff working late, meals and drinks when discussing business outside of the office, will be taxable staff entertaining. There's one exception to this if there's a canteen concession, and so food and drink in the staff canteen wouldn't be taxable, it would be exempt. But it's a problem area where you do have meals and hospitality of any kind, which is for staff only, and it needs to be looked at and decide how to report it on the P11D or whether to include it in a PAYE settlement agreement. The next heading on the P11D is general expense allowance for business travel, where we have to report the amount of any round sum allowance, not exclusively for entertaining at box 16, and where they've been taxed with the payroll, the cash equivalent is reduced to nil. If the allowance can genuinely be shown to be business expenditure and that there's no profit element, the Payslip Tax Office should be asked to issue a dispensation to cover it. Payments for use of home telephone are mentioned, and again, we ought to be able to get a dispensation for the business calls, which can be identified and incurred on a home telephone. We will not be able to get a deduction for the cost of any home rental, and there we'll have a liability which will be for income tax and Class 1 NIC if it's the employee's bill that's being paid. Non-qualifying relocation expenses payments as opposed to the benefits which were included in Section M, or the qualifying expenditure up to the £8,000 limit that was included in Section J. This is where the employer must report any relocation expense payments that don't qualify for tax relief. This might be something like compensation payments for the loss on sale of a property. The next heading is incidental overnight expenses, which was more commonly known as PIES, personal incidental expenses. We are required to report the full cost of any personal incidental overnight expenses if a director or employee incurs more than the statutory exemption limit, which is £5 per night in the UK or £10 per night outside of the UK. It is important to remember that it's only allowable if someone is necessarily staying away from home on business.